Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A holiday tradition continues in Marion County. Wandering the countryside to pick the perfect Christmas tree. Let's go in depth with Nola and Paul Vanderstreek with Vanderstreek Acres, Pella. Well, we've had a beautiful fall, Nola, haven't we?
We've had a wonderful fall as far as sunshine is concerned. We wish we could have had a little bit more rain and moisture to help the growth of everything. I think all of our agricultural people are hoping for a little rain and moisture. We need a nice snow.
Well, and Paul, you were telling me it was a little dry this fall and that it's impacting tree growers across the state, but looking at your trees, the ones I see look pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's because we cut out the bad ones. The orange ones are down below waiting to get chipped. 2 years ago, it was the wet weather. We lost all kinds of trees, and this year it was the drought.
Okay, so it's really hitting significantly across the state and larger area, I presume.
Yeah, that's true. I've talked to several other Iowa growers, and they're losing trees by the hundreds too this year. So we're all in the same boat, I guess. It's not just me.
But you still have plenty of trees for people that want to come by, plenty of wreaths. When I walked in, Nola, you were making wreaths, and they look beautiful.
Thank you. Wreath making time is time-consuming. But it is a way that we can utilize trees out in the field that we cannot sell as a tree. Maybe it's been deer damaged, or it may have been broken off through a storm.
So it's pretty interesting. A lot of people just see the trees, they buy their Christmas trees. They don't think about I certainly did until I met you all, that didn't think about the work that goes into producing a good Christmas tree. We don't think about that, do we?
I don't think people realize the time that it takes from the time you put it into the ground, and every year you treat it, you shear it, and that's shaping it, and then until it's saleable, and which is an average probably of about 8 years.
Okay, so it takes the land 8 years to produce that tree that we like, and a lot of work tending it, crafting it, sculpting it, making sure it looks good.
Yes.
Okay, and Paul, and when I came up, you were mowing because you were getting ready for visitors that are starting. This will air after your opening day. It'll air the week following. You're opening on Friday the 24th, and you're going to be open for visitors on the weekends, right?
That's correct. The Friday after the Thanksgiving is the only Friday we're open, and then we're open Saturday and Sundays. Saturday's 9 to dark, which is about 5 o'clock, and Sunday's noon to dark. And yeah, you're right. I was sitting on the mower. I'm just putting the final touches on some things down there in the lower patch, and we'll be ready to go.
And Nola, how long have you been doing this?
The land was purchased in 1971. It had a small stand of trees out in the field directly south of our shed. And I started selling trees about 3 years later out of a pickup. And there was no other buildings out here other than an old barn. And so from there, the progress of growing has started. Lloyd went to an Iowa Christmas tree growers meeting.
Your husband?
Came, yes, my late husband. And he said, you know what, I've got a good retirement project. Well, he doesn't realize that you can't retire unless you want to plan ahead for 8 years.
I see. And it's a lot of work. And
you
it's not
are
really retirement.
You're putting them in the ground, and you better be there in 8 years to harvest them.
Well, it worked out well.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
But I'm passing it along to Paul.
All right. And you're both big Christmas tree advocates. You've served on state and national boards, and you've really served the industry for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, my father was on the Iowa board for a very long time, and then he served as the national director for 2 years, and he got to deliver it wasn't our tree, but he got to deliver the White House tree to the White House to those 2 years. that was a very exciting time.
He was national president at that time, which gave us the honor of presenting the tree to the Blue Room in the White House. And that is a very special privilege. It's an honor that goes to the president of the National Association.
And so we've talked before, and you said that you were able to meet George H.W. Bush and Mrs. Bush.
I met Barbara Bush, and she was very nice. And I met Millie, too, her dog. If you'll remember, Millie wrote a book.
Sure.
but very gracious, and the staff. Just being in Washington, D.C. itself during a Christmas tree snow season was a beautiful sight. We also were able to go to the vice president's residence. We were the first, Lloyd was the first president to ever go to the vice president's house. And that was a very interesting journey. When the Bushes were vice president, Mrs. Bush did all possible to set the house up to the historic value of furniture and furnishings that were in it. And it was very, very interesting. The tree that was in the vice president's residence came from the Indiana Christmas Tree Association in honor of Dan Quayle, who was vice president at that time.
And he was from Indiana. More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about their Christmas tree farm with Nolan Paul Vanderstreek. You obviously enjoy this work, Paul. What do you like about it?
It's outdoors. I'm not an inside person, and just the nature out here. The neighbors have just with their trail camera, two different bobcats on the place, and there's deer, there's turkey. There's actually flying squirrels down in the Sand Creek area down here, family of those. And the only reason we know that is because the college traps bats down there, and they trapped a family of them one night. They're nocturnal. So I've never seen one, but they say they make quite the noise. But the whole operation, I'm outside. I make my own decisions and live or die by that.
And how many acres is the operation?
Right now, we probably have about 15 acres in trees and the farm itself. And then I'm actually a certified arborist, and I manage the woodlands for possible future logging. I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime or not, but if I pass it on to my two boys, then they'll at least have that advantage if they want to do it.
And can you guess how many trees you have? Do you have an estimate?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say right in the ground right now, we probably have about 5,000, 6,000, something like that.
And how many do you have that are at that right age, size, for people to choose from?
Oh, there'll be several hundred this year. It's going to be down a little bit, but we'll still have plenty of trees for people to pick out in the field. And plus, we ship our Fraziers in, and we have plenty of those, too.
What kinds are available?
Fraser fir, balsam fir, white pine, scotch pine. There's some Canaan fir down below. That's about it.
Sounds like a bit more than about it. To me, sounds like a wide variety, more than you get at a lot of other places.
Yeah, you like to do that. So if a disease would come through, say, and wipe out the Scotch pine, you have another species to back up on. So that's kind of the theory behind it.
What's the most popular Christmas tree?
I think the most popular Christmas tree, there really isn't a most popular, I don't think. In our area, the Scotch pine is very prevalent because it's a standard tree that's been here for a number of years. But a lot of people like the white pine, and they do like the Fraziers that are produced here and that we bring in. I would say that those are probably the most sought-after trees.
Now, you've been doing this long enough, you probably have some people that are now new grandparents that were here when they were children, right?
Yes. Possible? Do you think it's possible that I can just say that I am now a great-grandmother this year? So I think there will be a special tree going to that family.
First-time great-grandmother?
A first-time great-grandmother, yes.
So you have a tree picked out for them, I bet.
I'm sure I do.
Well, that's part of the fun of your operation is the family time, getting out in the woods and the families coming. Is that special to you?
Yes. To hear the children smile and laugh and have fun, run. They can kick up their heels and just, you know, they're out in the open. It's wide open spaces. And then it's the hearing, I found the tree. No, I found the tree. And then they have to make a decision. Which child's tree is going to be selected? And they always come to consensus.
Is that right?
maybe deep down they do.
What are the social dynamics? Is it different for every family? Does sometimes the mom pick, the dad pick, or is it always the kids?
No, it's not always the kids, and that's the interesting thing, because you'll see some families drive in, it'll be 9 o'clock in the morning, you know they're going to be here at noon yet, so, and other families just like to go out and get one right away, and the kids get to pick those sometimes, and sometimes mom and dad get to pick it, it varies.
But I bet some of the people you've known them long enough, you know who's picking it, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you get a feel for the family.
You probably learn about when they get out of the car what's going. If the kids are going crazy, it's probably theirs. If the mom or dad's in tight control, it's probably their decision.
Pretty much so. Or if the dog's doing circles, you know it's his. So.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about their Christmas tree farm with Nolan and Paul Vanderstreek. Well, so how many people might be here at a given time?
Oh, my. What would you say, Paul? 25, 30? On occasion. It can get crowded. But interestingly enough, I think the last few years it's been just a very steady pace. We may have a number of people here, but there's always room for one more car and four or five more people.
And there's always the after-lunch rush, we call it. We seem to die off around 11:30 or noon, and then all of a sudden around 12:30 or 1, then we get a huge rush into the place.
Tell me, why should we buy our Christmas trees locally?
It'll be a fresh tree. That's number one. And it'll help out the local economy. And can you add anything more to that, Ma?
I think it's the experience that a family has of being able to come out. And we try to support the local community as well. But it's the freshness of the tree. It's the challenge of trying to find that perfect tree. I really don't know if you can say enough about the growers themselves, because the growers put all their efforts into making the occasion of Christmas very special for every family.
Well, you're building a certain kinds of memories for the kids, and that they come out, they get to pick them, as opposed to some big old lot where the trees may have been brought in from Oregon, right?
Correct. Yep. This is an experience they don't forget. And a lot of them, if their parents do go to an artificial later on, when they start families, you see them coming back out here because they remember the natural tree when they were a kid.
Well, and there's safety issues too with the fresh tree. Isn't there?
There's no doubt about that. As long as you keep it watered, that tree will stay fresh through the holiday season.
Yeah.
And it's actually producing oxygen. As that tree grows, it's producing oxygen for people to breathe. And it's usually planted. Christmas tree farms are usually started on ground that are poor ground that for row crops. So that's another good thing. You're not taking out good ground for a Christmas tree patch.
Well, and they're safe because they're fresh. They're not dry and brittle, having been transported 1,000 miles.
That's true.
And there, I think before you've told me there are safety issues and other kinds of issues with respect to artificial trees too, where the locally grown?
Well, I think statistics have shown that when you hear of a Christmas tree fire and when it is investigated, almost 100% that we find out are artificial trees, and they give off a toxin when they burn that if you breathe it, you can die a lot quicker than a natural tree.
The thing with a natural tree is, and you must be aware when you bring it into your home to set it in a good location. Don't set it by a fireplace. Don't set it where you can have maybe a bonfire or anything, or like a kitchen stove where it would catch fire. You know, trees do have their limits. A tree is only the host. It is the other element that will cause the fire.
That would be us.
Yes. So it's very important that we keep those trees fresh and in water.
Yeah, one of the things we tell people when they cut a tree out of our patch, and when they get it home, this tree will seal itself over at the bottom within about 20 minutes. So we always ask them to cut it about an inch off right before they put it into the Christmas tree stand and get water on it right away. And then you just lukewarm water for the first 24 hours and then just normal tap water after that. But the first 48 hours is real critical for a Christmas tree.
You know, I would like to add something about Christmas tree stands. There are lots of stands on the market. And if you may pay a little bit more for a stand that's going to hold a quantity of water, but that stand will also probably last you more years than one that doesn't. So it's imperative that they look and be certain that they've got a nice stand to put their tree into.
A nice deep bowl?
Deep bowl.
And sturdy,
yep. We always like to tell people, designate one person out of the family to check the water on that tree every day. That way it never gets passed over.
What are some of your favorite memories over the years of people coming and getting trees?
Right now we don't have a sack swing up, but my favorite memory is when Lloyd put the sack swing up, and it's not just the children that enjoyed it, the adults did too.
They would come out and swing.
Yes, they certainly did, and they had a good time.
I think I saw rope in the other pole barn, Mom, and I think you just put me to work to put another sack swing up, didn't you? we'll get it up.
Really?
Yep, we'll get her up there.
Well, that's great, adding more to the experience.
The other thing that I can remember is when we started, we were in a shed with just a wood-burning stove. And we would come out here early in the morning and start that fire. But you know what? It wasn't until about the 5 o'clock at night when we were ready to go home that building got warm. we have come a long ways by having a warm building now.
And do you have any favorite memories, Paul?
Oh, boy, somebody who's growing up in the business, there's all kinds of memories. You know, I've always had the run of the farm, not just for the Christmas trees, but just for the nature end of things. I guess as far as the business goes, I think I've told you this before, Bob, that this is the only business where your child, when you put them to work for the first time, they automatically become a branch manager. That means they go out in the field and they pick up branches that people have left out in the field.
So you've been a branch manager for a long time.
A very long time.
You know, I always enjoy thinking about the early days, Paul, when you had your dog, Jet, who became a very good friend of your father, and he would come out here and sit and greet everybody as they would come and go.
Yeah, that was a good dog. It was a Springer Spaniel, and now I have a black lab named Doc, and I think he'd greet everybody too, but a little more enthusiastically than Jet did.
Okay, so what are your hours again through the holidays?
Through the holidays, the Friday after Thanksgiving, and it'd be 9 to 5. The Saturday and Sunday then of that weekend, Saturday be 9 to 5, and Sunday it'll be noon to 5. And then it'll be just weekends only, and Saturday's 9 to 5, and Sunday noon to 5. And we're not open during the week.
It just isn't possible for me to be out here alone, and it's... So we have decided that it would be best that we just be open on the weekends.
Well, that's when most of us are going to have the time anyway.
Yes.
The weather plays a plays a big role with us during the season. Even we've been iced out before, we've been snowed out, as you well know, the hill coming up to the farm. If people want to know if we're open, if something like that would happen, be sure to call at 641-626-3294
and come out for an experience. The entire family will remember forever.
Yes, they will have a memory forever, and hopefully they can repeat it every year.
Thanks to Nola and Paul Vanderstreek for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.